Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you. I said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell amongst the thieves? And he said to him, the one who had pity on him. And Jesus replied, go thou and do likewise. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to be a neighbor and to know who our neighbor is, so when we recognize our neighbor, that we might treat them as such. Help us to remember this story in a new and fresh way, we pray, so that as we leave this place, we may be renewed in knowing who our neighbor is in our neighborhood. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, if our lawyer and our text had been born a little later, he may have been able to grow up as a child and watch a gentleman by the name of Fred Rogers. Fred Rogers would have been able to have taught our legal lawyer in the book of Moses who his neighbor is, because as you will recall, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood taught children growing up just who their neighbor is. And who is our neighbor? Well, everyone is our neighbor, especially those neighbors who are in need. Mr. Rogers taught children for years and years that our neighbor isn't someone who just looks like us. They may not look like us. Our neighbor is just not someone who talks like us, but who doesn't talk just like us. So usually we consider our neighbor to be people that we can identify with, and those that we can't identify with, they might be someone else's neighbor. You'll recall that before all of this came about, Jesus was getting ready to pass through Samaria, and of course he was stopped because they didn't want him passing through because he was going to Jerusalem. You recall that James and John didn't particularly care for that, so they thought that they would try and teach them a lesson. Of course, Jesus rebuked them, but at least at that particular time, Jesus had a good sermon illustration that if he ever needed to use somebody as the bad guy, at least he had the Samaritans. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing me this morning? That if he ever needed to use any group of people who treated him bad in a parable or in a story, he could revert back to those people who wouldn't let him pass through, those mean people, the Samaritans who really don't care about anybody. Are you hearing me this morning? He asked Jesus, what must one do to inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life? And of course, if you're going to inherit something, you don't do something for it. An inheritance is not a paycheck. Inheritance is a gift. It's worked by someone else, it's earned by someone else, but it's given to someone who didn't work for it or earn it. Therefore, what do I do to inherit the kingdom of God is not
a good question to ask because it contradicts the question itself. Do and inherit are two different things. So Jesus walks along with him and says, well, you being a teacher of the law, you should know what the law says. So what does the law say? He says, well, the law says to love God with your total being and to learn your neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, I have learned a new definition of love, and I've quoted it to you, but I don't know that I ever shared with you where I got it from. Thomas Aquinas, who defines love as willing the good for the other for the sake of the other. Loving, willing the good. Willing the good for the other for the sake of the other. That's what real love is. When you and I love someone, we do something for the other for the sake of that other. It doesn't come back. We don't look for it to come back. We do it solely for them. That's why when somebody says to me, I want to borrow a book, I don't loan books. Matter of fact, I don't really have any books now to loan. They're all on my iPad. But usually I don't loan books, I give books. Because usually you don't get them back. When it comes to money, I don't loan money. Because usually money don't come back. So whenever I give and it's yours. You do with it what you will. I give it to you to benefit you. Not for it to benefit me. You and I do things not because of what we can gain from it or profit from it, but because that's who you and I are. When you and I start looking for things that you and I do to benefit us or to profit us, we have lost our way. We have lost our way. I'm reminded of the book Cat and Dog Theology, where the cat always lives its life with damnation and the fires of hell before its face. It walks backwards, always keeping hell before it. Anything it does, anything it says, anything it becomes, it's going to do it in order to escape hell and damnation. Are you aware, brothers and sisters, that Jesus went to hell for you and me? Are you aware, brothers and sisters, that Paul said about the Jews that he would be willing to go to hell in their place for them to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you read that in the Bible? This means yes. This means no. Isn't it interesting what we haven't read? Isn't it interesting when you and I are asked to do something, we wonder if we do it, what's going to happen to me? I'm right there with you because I do too. But if I remember that to love someone is to will the good for the other, for the sake of the other, and that self is not involved in that, then I can begin loving as Jesus loved. I will not try and find justification for doing what I know I shouldn't do. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I pray to the Lord, I'm not really seeking for God to tell me what to do. I'm really telling Him what I hope He don't mind that I'm going to do. I heard one preacher of 50 years say that all of the pastoral care that he's ever done, not one person came in and asked his advice. He just wanted them to know if it was okay if they were going to do what they were going to do. I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me because I think my prayers concerning my Lord is a lot like that too. Lord, I'm not really needing any advice. I just want you to know that I'm getting ready to do this and I sure would appreciate if you would bless it. And sometimes I'm sure he looks down at me and says, you know, Randall, you are one to be truly pitied. You are my child, and I am your master. Not the other way around. Jesus said to this lawyer, you know the law. You know the book of Moses. What does it say? And after the lawyer gave his answer, notice what Jesus said to him. He said to him, you have given the right answer. Have you ever just given the right answer? I mean, you know the answer, and I know the answer, but doing the answer? It's easier to give the right answer than to do the answer. It's interesting how sometimes you and I can live our lives and it's just sort of a checkoff. Checkoff, okay? I've done this and I've done that. I've done this, I've done that. Not that it's changed me, but I've done this and I've done that. Okay, all right, I feel guilty about this, so I'll do this and I'll do that. Not that I've changed, but I'll do this and I'll do that, and I will just check it off. Oh, I should do this and I should do that. Oh, preacher, that was a good sermon. Something to think about. Oh, something to think about. What about something to be about? It's not just something to think about. It's something to also be about. Jesus said, well, you've given me the right answer. And then to justify himself, he said, who is my neighbor? I wonder who you and I view our neighbor as. Who is our neighbor? You know, if you live in the country, your neighbor can live a mile or two from you. That's what I've always loved about country folk. You know? Who's your neighbor? Oh, they're my neighbor. How far do they live? Oh, they're about 5 miles down the road. 5 miles down the road. You know, if you live in the city, you know, your neighbor's a rock's throw from your house, usually. Or you can see through their window if you live in an apartment in the city. But in the country, your neighbor can live 5 miles from you, and they're still your neighbor. Jesus tells the story, and it's like watching an Andy Griffith show that you and I have seen 1,000 times. There are certain parts of it we like. You know, when I watch an Andy Griffith show, you know some of my favorite parts? It's when Barney, poor Barney Fife, he wants to be a lawman so bad. He wants to do some heroic things so bad. He wants to get the bad guy. He wants to do something so bad. But as a result of trying not to mess up, he always messes up. But you know one of the things about Andy Griffith in the show, it's whenever Barney makes a fool of himself, Andy tries to help Barney not feel like a fool. He helps to try and make Barney not feel like a failure, even though he might be at times. That's what I love about Andy Griffith. He loves Barney Fife. And even though sometimes Barney makes a fool of himself, Andy wills the good of the other for the sake of the other. We can watch an Andy Griffith show and we know what's going to happen. And some parts are our favorites and some we may not like. But I wonder what our favorite part is in this rerun that we have heard this morning. The Good Samaritan. We've heard it most of our life. Which part do we like the best? Which do we identify with? Are we the person who is beaten, half robbed, needing someone, hoping someone will see us and stop and help us? Are we the priest who's gone from Jerusalem to Jericho? He's already been at the temple. He's already been singing, oh, how I love Yahweh. Oh, how I love Yahweh. Oh, how I love Yahweh. And then he leaves and he sees someone in need and he ignores them and goes to the other side and keeps walking. Or the Levite, who is also at Jerusalem, who does the same thing. But then there's a character that's the hero that I'm so surprised that Jesus made the hero, because they were the very ones who wouldn't let him cross when he was going to Jerusalem, and it was a Samaritan. He's the hero. And the reason that Jesus makes him the hero is because he knows the Jewish and Samaritan's relationship. He knows how much they dislike each other. And for Jesus to bring them together, that's why he came. That's why he came. When he said to the lawyer who was a neighbor to the man who has fallen and was robbed and beat, left half dead, he couldn't say his name. He just said the one who had mercy on him. And the word mercy in the Greek means to get under your skin. You and I have said similar things, such as, don't judge a person unless you have walked a mile in their shoes. Here you have a Samaritan who finds a man that has been attacked. I wonder if that Samaritan could identify with being attacked. I wonder if he ever had gotten robbed, beat, left for half dead, and he remembers someone stopping and aiding him. One of the hardest things, brothers and sisters, is to identify with another who is in need, because oftentimes how we will justify not helping them is by saying, well, they did it to themselves. They did it to themselves. They knew better, but they did it anyway. They did it because they made a mistake. Let them learn from it. Brothers and sisters, if I had not had people in my life who was willing to love me, to help me when I would make mistakes, I would still be making mistakes, and I still do, but I wouldn't be as far along as I am today if I hadn't had someone to stop along and to help me in my time of need. Today, when I see someone in need, I ask myself, when was I that way? And it may not be identical need, but a need is a need. I've never been robbed, beaten, left for half dead, but I have been at a time in my life when I needed somebody. I was alone. I may have done to myself whatever I had caused the consequences to be, and I am there because of me. But I needed someone who would be willing to look beyond that and to see the need and to help me. I needed someone who was willing to care for the other. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. May we pray. Amen. It is our desire, O Lord, to will the good for others, for the sake of the other. Help us as we are on our way to be that kind of people. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.